Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, we're Journey. We got some new shit for you. Everyone's like, get the fuck off the fucking stage.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I want to hear the old shit. Yeah. Give me a small town girl in a lonely world. Give me hope in my shitty life. Hey, you're listening to the shit they don't tell you. You know what that is?
It's our podcast. It's our podcast, honey.
I'm freezing up here. I'm freaking out.
You're freaking out?
I'm freaking out.
Don't freak out. It's just our podcast. It's a CastBox original, produced in partnership with Studio 71. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android. Did you know that?
Yes.
Are you freaking out?
I'm freaking out over
Stop
here.
Stop freaking out, honey.
Look, you know why I'm freaking out? Because of the deals, okay? You get this for free. All right? This app is for free. And it's where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can listen to Shit They Don't Tell You, wherever you get your podcasts. But we honestly hope that you'll give CastBox a shot because we think it's the best.
It's like home base.
Are you listening to this on CastBox?
Hopefully.
Then why are we advertising it to you? I guess is my question.
In case they're not.
Hey, if you're on Android or you're on Apple, your tools of the system.
No, they can get it. They can get CastBox if they're on Android or Apple.
All right. Well, that's good to know.
Why didn't anyone tell me?
Yo, what's up? My name's Steve Green. Welcome to Shit They Don't Tell You podcast.
I'm Nikki Limo.
And today we are joined by a very special guest, Alex Deason and Amber Bollinger from the indie rock duo Broken Baby. Also, Alex happens to be a record label manager and owner. Alex?
Hello.
Wait, the manager part is Palo Santo Records, and he owns Poor Man Records.
Correct.
Nice.
Yeah. Exactly.
That is good.
Exactly.
Yeah, you failed
Smooth
your job.
Smooth as butter. Smooth as silk.
Well, thank you for being here today. So we wanted to talk to you guys. We're like super excited because like a lot of people dream about being rock stars and musicians and touring and like being on the road and stuff. And I just want to talk to you about what that life is actually like. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure it's not all glamorous. I'm sure there are some glamorous parts to it.
I'm sure
it.
It's mostly glamorous, yeah, but probably like
totally
10%
glamorous.
It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. Totally all glamorous, 0% not glamorous.
Yeah. Okay, my bad. Wow.
Yeah. Not a lot of cleanliness, but it is fun. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, how is that with showers and stuff?
You just gotta be quick. Or just don't do it at all.
Do you stay in hotels or you stay in a bus?
We stay in hotels.
No. Buses are for like really rich people.
Okay.
People that are really, really making it.
Yeah, really killing it. Really killing it out there.
Yeah, like Greta Van Fleet or something.
Got it.
So mostly hotels.
Yes. Sometimes people's houses if we stay like at a friend's place.
Yeah.
Which we try to do.
There are a lot of generous people out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of murderers.
That's nice.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you ever have to like use their shampoo and stuff? And
is
there ever like, is there ever hair? I always get scared of people taking showers in my place because like I put my hair on the wall.
Yeah.
Because
is that how it gets on the wall?
Yeah, because
you put it on the friggin' wall.
Because you don't want it to go down the drain because I've had to deal with fucked up drains before.
And we're dealing with that right now in our house.
It's so strange. I'll just see a spiral of hair on the wall. And I'm like, what? How does it happen like that?
Leave us a comment if you can relate to that because I feel like I'm not alone in this.
You're not alone.
I got like the Whirlpool logo. You know what I'm saying? Like it's like that, but with her hair.
Okay, so, but like then I wait for it to dry so I can take it and put it in the trash can.
And then you don't do it.
No, it's just I remember when I'm about to take a shower again. So right. like in You've between the showers, it. Yeah, like if a guest sees our shower, it's just that's gross, yeah. you know? And so
90% of the time I remember.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. Good for you.
I don't remember.
Exactly.
It's just
dude,
dark
you have
in
long
there.
Hair too. You don't do that shit though.
I don't do
he
it.
He just lets
See?
It go down the drain, which is See? Fucking up our system.
Which is kind of clogged right now.
Okay, so. I saw this Shark Tank episode, by the way, tangent. There's this Shark Tank episode and it did get bought, so like they funded it, so I know okay. you can buy it places. But there's this like chain that you can put in your shower drain and it catches all the hair supposedly. Oh. They made it look super True.
That's
efficient.
A good idea.
Yeah. And I really want it. Maybe for Christmas.
Yeah. Now you're not getting that shit for Christmas.
When's your birthday?
November 2nd.
Oh,
maybe
oh.
your birthday.
No, 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 absolutely not. Don't pimp for presents. It's huh? not happening.
It's
no.
good
That's a really good idea.
If you were Jewish, you'd have 12 chances to get it.
Right?
Well, 13,
yeah,
including
I'm
your
just
birthday.
An unlucky agnostic person.
Yeah. Who celebrates Christmas? Like it's the fucking 4th of July.
I celebrate commercial holidays because I'm yeah. a fan of commercials.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah, I believe paid. In commercials.
Yeah. Yeah. And commercialism.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is probably one of your guys' favorite things as indie rock duo.
Yeah.
Commercialism.
Absolutely.
Totally.
What's your favorite song about commercialism? every
have
single
you,
Katy Perry song, maybe?
Have you always wanted to do this? Was this always something that you're like, this is my purpose. I need to do it.
Oh, well, yeah. Alex has been playing music since he was a kid. Mm-hmm. But he was actually an actor first.
That is true. Oh.
He was, who Ew. Are you?
Reluctantly. Very reluctantly. I
Les
was.
Mis?
Oh my God. Really?
Lost mm-hmm. in Yonkers.
Wow.
Little Broadway kid over
oh,
here.
Oh my wow. gosh. Look
and then
you.
He's like, tonight. Fuck this shit. I'm going to write music. And that's when he started learning
You know what's
music.
Funny is actually, you got out of, Amber, you got out of acting by giving yourself a haircut that would create a situation where you would not be able to be cast.
Correct.
And I did the same thing when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah, we just talked about this.
Because I
other
didn't
day.
Want to go on auditions anymore, and my mother was like, not hearing it. So I just literally had my friends cut me a mohawk.
And then it works
every
time.
And then she was like, what? Oh, God. And that was the end of it.
Mm-hmm. But how come in a bunch of 90s movies I saw those kids with mohawks?
Well, and actually, I was
he
in
was.
A movie with the mohawk. I couldn't even.
With Natalie Portman.
Even that I couldn't escape from.
That's amazing.
And that,
That's
awesome. I think that was the last thing
Were you
I
a bully
remember.
Kid? Like, get out of the way, freako!
Were you like a ball kid that like.
I didn't have any lines kid. Or anything, but I was like a punk kid who was trying to get money from Natalie Portman, I think.
Perfect. That's like the Terminator yeah. 2. All those kids were probably like all your friends.
Yep.
Remember that shit?
Where and I did
Edward
audition
Furlong
for
is like
yep.
in the arcade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. I'll never forget that shit. That was my first introduction to bully acting in movies, and I have been in love with it ever since.
Bully acting?
Oh, yeah. Bully acting is
the bully
best.
Acting technique.
Like, out of my way. You're a freaking freak. Like, all that
they
stuff.
They have to do a lot of training for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's method
a lot of
and then
Meisner
bully.
Techniques in bully training.
What was mm-hmm. it like as a kid actor? What's that like?
It was terrible. It was
did you do
movies
with Macaulay?
No, no.
Oh, well.
I didn't really do any. Most of it was theater, and most of the theater was just two plays. Which
Billy
was,
Elliot and?
Yeah. and Hamilton.
Yeah, yeah. No, there you go. Yeah.
Which brought him to
was,
singing.
It was Les Mis and then Lost in Yonkers. So that was the bulk of it. And then there was like, you know, a couple TV commercials, and then there was a walk-on role in a movie, The Professional, with Natalie Portman.
Oh, of course.
I love that
yeah.
movie.
Oh, my God.
What's amazing is that I wasn't actually in, I'm only in the director's cut. But somehow, by some sort of clerical error,
you still get money.
I'm still in
he
the
still
credits.
Still gets money.
Ooh, that's tight.
I'm in the credits. So the director's cut and the non-director's cut, I'm in the credits as
that's
ball
amazing.
Boy.
That's amazing. As a what?
Ball boy.
Ball boy.
Ball boy.
What's amazing though is that in the theatrical version, there is a kid with a ball, and it's not me. But he's not credited in the regular version. So somewhere out
that's
there,
better.
He got screwed.
I'm on a dartboard in this person's room.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's
that's
yeah,
so funny.
Just trying to
poor
track me
kid.
Down. And, yeah.
Well, wow. here he is, Alex Deason.
The producers are like, a kid is a kid is a kid.
He takes credit for other people's work. Please welcome Alex Deason.
Exactly.
Okay, so then you got into music because
yes.
you're like,
well, I was
like,
into music at the same
acting.
Time, but the acting was like one. It was
like getting
one of those,
in the way.
It was, but it was like one of those things where I didn't have to. I didn't have
you
to try
very hard.
My man. Just like me at fucking.
That's right.
Hell yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, and I just kind of didn't want to do it the whole time. And then I figured eventually I would like doing it. And then I kind of liked some of the people that I met. But then I...
The people in music are just way cooler.
Oh, yeah, that's so true. Yeah, I always wanted to be a musician for that reason.
Mm-hmm. So I kind of just stopped doing it. And then I... Because I was doing both the things at the same time, but one of them was, you know, as a, you know, child actor, and the other one was just as a dickhead with a guitar. So then I just got to be a full-time dickhead with a guitar.
That's
hell
tight.
Yeah.
That's
he's really
tight.
Good at
Did you ever
that.
Play Guitar Hero?
Yeah, but it's really hard.
Right? Isn't it frustrating for guitar
it's got
players?
Nothing to do with yeah.
Nikki talking like she plays guitar. I love
no,
it.
No, I play Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
I'm really good at it. I'm like expert level at it, but then guitarists that I know are really good at guitar cannot play that game for shit.
It's hard. Yeah.
And it's so funny to me because I'm like, I fucking rule at this game.
You win.
I'm
crushing those strings.
Yeah.
I play guitar, parenthetically,
buttons,
Hero.
Really.
Those buttons. You don't stand a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how about some early influences?
It was all punk rock stuff.
Okay, me
because
too.
That was the
punk.
Stuff that I could play.
Blink 182,
Blink 182,
and Blink 182.
Shut up. It's not Blink 182. It was a Blink 182.
It was like...
That would be kick-ass if it was. What's funny about that? I love Blink.
I do like Blink 182.
I liked their early stuff.
Yeah, I had a poster in my dorm room.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a fangirl.
Was it because he was hot or because you liked the music?
I think I really like the picture.
Yeah, see, I know a lot of people who are like, well, Tom was really hot back then.
Yeah, he was real cute.
That is true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See?
And now he's all a part of Aliens and shit.
Yeah, he's super into alien theory right now.
I dig it.
I do too. I love that
we
shit.
We should have him on.
I would love to.
Talk about aliens.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we can leave. And
or,
we can,
yeah,
he
can you leave?
That,
yeah, I mean, this is important.
Are you guys into alien shit?
I am.
Me too.
He's not.
Oh, I love this stuff.
I'm not into it. I just...
Are you too cool for Ancient Alien astronaut theory, bud?
I guess I might be.
Yeah.
Wow.
He just doesn't have any time.
Hey,
he's
did
like,
you know when they built the pyramids, there was no way that they could build that with the tools that they had at the time, bud?
That's right.
That sounds fascinating.
See?
So interesting.
Did you know you can't even fit a piece of paper between two of those stones? And that they use machine precision tools? See?
Is this all on the History Channel?
Hey, this isn't an alien topic.
No,
this is an advertisement for Gaia.com.
We'll talk about it.
Is that what
we will talk about it.
No. Oh. That's where you would watch
this. We'll have you back.
Stuff.
We'll do an aliens only episode.
Yes.
No bullshit rock stuff allowed.
Right.
okay, early influences. Punk
aliens.
Rock. Yeah.
Yeah, punk rock, but like.
NoFX?
None of that's like Fugazi, like Minor Threat. Right to Spring. So it was always a little bit weird. And then from there, I remember there's this song by Fugazi called Reclamation off an album. I believe it's on the album Steady Diet of Nothing. And it was like such a crazy thing because it wasn't fast and angular like other Fugazi stuff. It was like kind of groovy.
Mm.
But the guitar comes in with this like, it's like this. And then the other one comes, and I'm like, oh, it's going to be some.
Yeah.
And then the bass comes in, and it's like, and I was like, that blew my mind.
And I think I'm in the weird
like
pitch right now. I'm like, you're pitching me.
That's how
sound.
How music is. Yeah, that's how music is pitched.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
But and then when I heard that, I was like, oh, maybe I should try to like think more rhythmically or more like, you know, bigger than just playing, you know, chords and guitar that are fast and then that became like a jumping off point into weirder stuff like weirdest. I can't think of any of it right now.
Paul Abdul.
Yep.
Well, it ended up with you getting signed to Epic Records, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, but that was a weird that was a weird 16-year tangent that didn't make a lot of sense when you look at the influences.
Yeah.
Of my musical career.
But what's that day like? It's like Epic's calling and they're like, "Yo, we want to sign you."
It
is that like pretty
at
nuts?
At that point, this band, the Damwells, that I was in for a long time. At that point, we had been courted by so many record labels that it was like at that point like a formality that truthfully none of us were really terribly excited about. We felt like if we didn't do it, then our management would probably jump ship or our lawyer or our booking agent or whatever.
So it was one of those things where it was like, we kind of have to do this, and we can't wait to get out of this.
Well, it was kind of like, we have to do this. Can we be excited about this? Sure. Yeah. Okay. Let's be... Yeah, we're excited about it.
You.
And then we all kind of like hive-minded it.
Were you excited about it because other people, like other bands that you knew around you were also getting signed?
Yeah, that's also true because other bands from New York were getting signed to major record labels that were not really like pop bands. They were like, you know, rock bands like The Strokes or
Yeah Yeahs.
Or... there's another band called the Moldy Peaches and Interpol, and there's a lot of bands like getting signed, so it was kind of like a formality. But we didn't really sound anything like that, although that was the music that I liked. It's very odd.
Well, you mean their music is the music that you liked?
Yeah, it was definitely
but
more
But you didn't
of a,
sound like music that you liked, is what you're saying?
Not really.
That's funny as hell, man.
Yeah.
So you were kind of a slave to what other people were doing in the band, in a way?
No, no, it was all me. I'm the only one to blame. It was like in college at one point, there was like, there was a weird opening in punk rock or post-punk music where folk music came in. And it was like in the late 90s. And there was like, I think really it was Beck had put out, like after Odelay had put out a record that had a lot of folk songs on it. There's like a song called Asshole, and there were other like really cool kind of punky folk, like punk lyrics with folk music. And so the people that I was in college with were playing this music, and then I started playing that music. And then I think as that music finds its way out into the world, it just sort of gets all the punk rock elements to it, eventually just get sort of like winnowed away. And then you're just left with like a folk thing with drums and bass guitar. Okay, now you're just Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, which is cool, but you're not as cool as that, so you just wind up becoming a
Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah, yeah, that's funny. That's funny.
So that was kind of unfortunate. But then, you know, I started going back to that, and I made an EP.
What's an EP?
It's Extended Play.
Okay, which is, I don't know shit about it. I'm just trying to help everybody understand.
I actually don't know what Extended Play means. Actually, I just know that Extended Play is
It's easy, not misleading, because they were actually what was left over from the long play. But now EPs come before long play. It's confusing.
But it's like, it's almost like these are my scraps.
Kind of. That's what EPs originally were.
I love it when an EP is really good, too. It's like, my scraps are even fucking good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, your scraps are real good.
Well, these weren't scraps. These were like four EPs that I put out in a year because I wanted to tour by myself, and the Damwells was like in between records. And then I went back to like making like kind of punky, folky music. There's a song called Death Metal and Disco, and then another song called Somebody Else's Drugs. Was that what it's called? Other people's drugs. So then I tried to go back to it, and then
you tried to go back to the sound that you liked.
Yeah, I tried to go back to like what was inspiring about the bridge between punk rock music and folk music. And then when I went back to the band after writing this EP that had kind of these folky, punky songs on it, then I went back to the band, and then it was real confusing because I wanted to continue down that way, which we kind of did with the last record. But I mean, at that point, we had been 15 years into it, and I mean, I'm still very good friends with all the guys in the Damwells, but we were just tired.
Yeah. You know? Is it like a collaborative energy that you just lost, or is it like a...
For sure, yeah.
Because you start getting other interests, well, and some people life just happens. And
aged out, not aged out of it, but like they just had other things to do. Like one of the guitar players ended up working in like green energy.
Okay.
Needed a
Which
paycheck.
Is rad, but...
It's rad, yeah. We all need it.
Yeah.
California, 2045.
There you go.
And then Stephen Terry was like a...
He was opening restaurants and doing weird stuff.
Yeah, opening restaurants and owning llamas in Virginia.
Yeah, right. I just heard sold out. Are you kidding me, bro? You opening restaurants, bro? That's not punk rock, bro.
So, Amber, when did you come into the picture with this?
Well, you were an actress first.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I did do choir in high school.
Mm.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah.
I was part of the Corallier troupe.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty.
You an alto?
I was like a almost a soprano.
Ooh.
If I wanted to be.
Wow.
What's the next one down? I don't know this shit.
But me either.
Us neither. We're just throwing out buzzwords.
Chucking references at you.
Me too.
I'm chucking references at you like they're punk bands.
I love it.
Alternative punk bands.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I was in a band like 5 years ago.
You were in a band like six years ago now.
It was bad. I'm not even going to name it. It wasn't bad. It was fun. I did find my love for like being in a band because, you know, since I was in Corallier's, I thought that I would take this now seriously. And then I met this guy who I was actually a really fan of the Damwells, not knowing that I was going to eventually date the guy.
Mm-hmm.
That was an accident that I didn't want to happen.
Mm.
But it did. I'm real happy about it. And I think, so yeah, I was in a band and he would come to the shows. And since I like loved the Damwells, we're dating now. And then he's coming to my shows and I'm just embarrassed because I knew that this shit sucked.
Mm.
But
I didn't think it sucked.
Well, you're very kind.
He thought the Damwells sucked, dude.
Yeah, yeah, just listen to him. And then I guess since you knew I sang, I just kind of started singing back up on your things. He would be working on a song and he'd be like, hey, babe, come over here and just like sing this part. I'm like, okay, la, 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 la. And then
we went on tour.
I sang back up on tour. And then while we were on tour, the first one or the second one, I don't remember which one, he's like, you know what, we should start a band. And I was like, that's a really bad idea. He's like, no, I think that you should sing. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do that.
And then I had my computer open in the van, and I came up with
an
album
like,
cover.
Album covers and
oh, that's pretty good.
That's always right. The way to,
that's
to
how you
get
sell
somebody
yeah.
in a band.
Yeah, have them visualize it.
Yeah, totally. And he put my face on the cover with the name, well, which was an old name that he thought of that I thought was terrible. And then he's like, well, if you want to do this, we have to think of a band name. And I was like, well, I'm not going to be a part of this band if that's the band name that you want. Mm-hmm. So he's like, well, then you better come up with something better. And then I guess we got back from tour and just wrote an EP in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Wrote, recorded
an EP of 6 songs, yeah.
In Why didn't weeks. You want to do it originally?
Well, because I love this man, and I
You're
didn't
like,
oh,
want
getting creative with somebody.
Anything yeah. to tear. However, I've always wanted to be creative with my partner, and that was something that I did want to do with Alex. I just didn't want it to tear
right.
the relationship apart.
If it didn't work.
But it right. actually works really beautifully.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about that, too, because I think... Well, with us, you know, we got into, you know, working a business together, and we do a lot of stuff together. We host together. We act together. We do a lot of stuff together.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, a lot of people told me, I don't know if they told you, but like for me personally, like a lot of people warned me against it. They're like,
yeah,
they're like, you don't want to get into business with your significant other. Trust me. It's no good because like then you'll fight more and then it'll ruin the personal life and all this
damn,
stuff.
Damn, I never get these kind of doubters. I wish
I got so many.
Wow.
So many people that said that they trust me from experience. Like I went into business with my wife, worst thing I ever did.
These are like movie trailer moments that I never get.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you can never do it, pal.
Yeah.
You're never going to be able to be successful. You know, like I love that shit.
Well, you're proving them wrong.
Yeah, you just gotta go with your gut. But have you guys? I mean, obviously, it's great for you guys, right?
Yeah, it actually is.
Oh, yeah.
We do work really well together. But we're both kind of like, I don't want to say alphas, but we both have like our opinions and stuff
Same.
Like that. But I am not as knowledgeable about music as he is, so I can't. Really fight the issue. But there are, it's not that we fight, but we do have like, you know, creative arguments about like maybe how something should be done. Mm. And sometimes you win and sometimes I win. And it's not like a thing. It's just,
it's also make the group better. Like, both of you want what's best for the group.
And I also kind of feel like, I guess because I've been doing this a long time and she hasn't been doing it as long, I don't think that doing it a long time has benefited me tremendously as far as being able to do what I want to do. So whenever we're working together, I try, you know, I think Amber will become maybe a little like self-conscious or not confident or tentative with like a certain part of the song. And I just feel like what she does instinctually is something that you can't learn, right? And what I wanted to do instinctually when I was like 20 or 21 or even earlier was something that I kind of like learned myself out of. I learned out of being able just to do like what came to mind, like, oh, I can't play the chord that way, I should just play it like this, or I can't, that melody doesn't make any sense, I should probably try to, you know, square it up and make it simpler. Whereas she will come out with like melodies or ideas or lyrics that like an academic would be like, you know, would say, well, we should, you know, make sure that the tenses match or some stupid thing like that. And I just feel like none of that is important, because what really comes out when Amber's performing or on on stage or on a recording is like this, just, I don't know, it's this unnameable, super interesting, raw, unrefined.
Jesus Christ, this guy's in fucking love
right
here, bro.
I know. I'm like, I didn't pay you that much money.
I mean, this man is in love.
That was great.
Oh, boy.
But that's the part I think that, if anything, our combo, our duo, or whatever it's called.
relationship? Benefits,
yeah, relationship. That's
pretzel
good.
And cheese.
I think it benefits way more from her end of it than mine, because I know how to produce records. I know how to make records. I can do that for anyone. If you wanted to make a folky record or
a Christmas album.
We've done it.
Oh my god!
All the big hits.
And I've written songs for other people too, so I can, you know, get into other people's minds.
Justin Bieber, for one.
But that's not interesting.
Wow.
You know?
Did you write Baby?
That's not interesting.
I did not.
Wow.
You didn't write Baby?
No, I didn't.
Damn. Which one did you write?
It was a song called Take You.
take you.
Yeah, by Bieber. I wrote it with like 8 other people.
That's
so
tight, man.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Do we love it?
Do we love it?
Yeah, do we like it? Is it a yeah. good song? Oh,
do you cool. like Bieber?
Well, I actually think that Baby's like a great song. I'm an asshole, dude. I don't give a fuck. I think that song is
I don't
dope.
Like Baby, and I don't. The song I wrote is okay, but the stuff later on that he started doing with Skrillex and Diplo, I think that stuff is way better.
Oh, I have to catch up
it's
on that.
It's so good. What's the one about?
Yeah, I'll
like,
catch up on that too.
What's the one about? What is it called? Yeah, it's obviously very memorable.
I have not been following Justin.
I haven't either.
Like this
was like 3 or 4 years era. Ago. But
I watched this documentary, yeah, during the Baby era. Yeah.
You watched the documentary?
Oh, yeah, we all watched it as a group. And this was before we were dating, when we were just friends.
Oh.
And, yeah.
When I was just eye-fucking you.
A baby yeah, totally. No, we were both in relationships. But, yeah, we went to the movies as a group.
Oh, my God, I can't believe
we all watched
that
it kind of like, ironically, but like...
At the end, you love
it. Yeah, it was touching. Like, yeah, it was like, man, this kid was good at drums.
Yeah.
Who the hell knew?
Yeah.
You watch him beating
really
the shit out of these drums, you're like, whoa, man.
I really hope he continues being a good boy.
Yeah. No,
oh,
he didn't.
Man.
No. Then he like killed someone with his Lamborghini or something like 3 weeks later, and we were like, oh, never mind. I'm okay.
Yeah. Moving on.
He was like racing or something. He did something stupid as fuck, and I was like, oh, never mind. I was like, oh, the drummer kid's gone. That's too bad.
But
then you ended up working with him later, not post-Lamborghini era?
I think, no, this was pre-Lamborghini era.
Pre-Lamborghini
era. Was it? I don't know.
I think so. It was several years
ago. We'll have to ask his chronicler.
Okay, yeah. Yeah,
get him on the phone?
Yeah, we'll have to. Well, they're coming on next, yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys are, your daily lives, you're living and working on the road mostly?
No, we work on the record label.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Gotcha.
Well, when we're on tour, we're obviously working from the road. But
well, you're running a record label out of your apartment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty crazy.
Well, actually, I just out of our phones.
Our phones.
What's that
like? I have a computer.
How do you even do that?
I don't know.
That's a really good question.
And by the way, when I say record label, that means like you have several artists under your banner, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And you're trying to facilitate everyone listening to their stuff.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah, like basically just hiring other people to do this stuff that makes a record
label
run. Well,
Palo Santo is one record label. That's the like the mothership. And I run that record label, which is owned by my two friends, Sarah and
that
Selena.
Galactic headquarters is in Dallas.
They have an office.
Okay.
Yeah.
At which presumably I have a desk.
Rockin'.
But we live in LA, so we're not there a lot. But then, so there's Palo Santo is the mothership, of which I'm the general manager, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a bunch of labels underneath that group. It's like the Palo Santo Music Group, which includes Poor Man Records, which is the record label that Amber and I own and run. And then there's another label called Hit Records, which is one of the owner's imprint. And then there's another label called...
I don't know this one.
Oh, then there's like just Palo Santo Records, which is like the record label part of the Palo Santo Music Group. If
okay.
That makes any sense.
I mean,
it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it's the thing where it's like I have a subsidiary, it's an LLC underneath the thing,
right.
And it's like that kind of
thing. It
shit.
Is exactly.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you're not punk rock anymore. You're a businessman now, huh?
That's true. Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, one of my favorite bands of all time, Fugazi, they own their own record label. You
that's
know?
Tight. Yeah,
that's actually
Discord,
pretty
yeah.
punk rock.
And Discord also, I
you're
believe
like, I'm
going
to do this shit on my own.
They also distributed other records. So I mean, there's a long history of people in bands, Teen Beat. You know, like those are just people who were in bands, and they started their own record label, and then probably just to put out their own band's records. And then
what happens when you're with somebody like with a record label that you don't agree with, or like what are those conversations?
You mean like a person at the label or an artist or what?
Yeah, yeah, a person at the label.
Just
like what, like for example, why did you open your own label rather than just being part of other people's labels?
Oh, well, because no one would put out my records.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
so this is like a self-made shit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like what we do with YouTube. It's like you're doing it yourself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so
right
Palo Santo wasn't putting out your records?
No, Palo Santo was a record label that started in like 2015 that put out almost exclusively like folky kind of Americana
I don't
want to
say
stuff.
Americana because not all the artists are Americana.
But
it
then
started
it changed.
Out that way.
Then I started working at the end of 2017 as the general manager, and then we kind of changed our... you know, modus operandi or whatever.
I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's cool.
And then we started incorporating other bands. Like, so Broken Baby was a Poor Man Records, which is our label. We were just going to put it out on our own label.
Yeah.
And then part of the deal with me becoming the general manager of Palo Santo was that they would distribute my titles from Poor Man Records through Palo Santo. I mean, it's not just like a blind distribution. I mean, we all agree, like, yeah, we're going to put this out. And then our distributor, which is the Orchard, they distribute all the records that come through Palo Santo, whether it's from Hit or from Poor Man Records or it's from Palo Santo proper.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when I came on, it changed a little bit, and then we started signing bands from Dallas, artists, and cool stuff. I mean, a lot of it, because it is artist-run, is Salim Nirala, who's one of the owners. He puts out his records, and he's in a couple other bands, and we put out those records. And then I put out some solo records, so those have gone through Poor Man and then, you know, distributed through Palo Santo.
And when you put them through, is that like, okay, now it's through. So now where does it go?
It goes to the Palo Santo group has a PR firm that's on retainer, so they, which is Team Claremont, who's really great. So Bill Benson, who's the PR side, and then Nelson Wells, who's the radio side, they, you know, we decide as a record label what we want to, you know, what avenues we want to send artists through. Do we want Bill to work this record to press, or is it too early? Should we just try to do some stuff on our own, reach out to blogs and people like that we have relationships with or that we know and see if they want to review the record? And sometimes you're just building a story. You know?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
This is an artist's first record. You know, it's not going to go platinum. They're not going to get on tour with, like, the National. So
yeah.
We just really need to build the story and try to get people to listen to the record.
Right.
So sometimes having a publicist go and try to pitch the record to, you know, Stereo Gum or even, like, something tiny.
What's
like,
Stereo Gum?
Stereo Gum is, like, you know, Stereo Gum, Pitchfork.
Blog.
It's a music blog.
Yeah.
Oh, music blog.
Super popular music blog. Okay. Indie rock and
gotcha.
Other kinds of stuff like that.
So if it goes on there, you get eyeballs from that.
You kind of do, but...
But if it's not ready for it, he's saying that...
Yeah, so oftentimes, you know, Stereo Gum will say to a publicist, they've said this to Bill before, you know, this is cool, but, like, there's nothing... It's too early.
Yeah.
You know, like, the Spotify numbers are too low, or... They don't have it. They haven't played any shows yet, or they haven't done.
Yeah, Spotify. How's that? How's that been for things?
It's been great.
Yeah, you're loving it, right?
They're so fantastic. Good. They're so good.
Yeah, great service.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Great service. They pay their artists.
Yeah, I heard really well.
It's really great.
12 cents a song or something.
It's not insular or anything. It's very welcoming to.
That's so great.
Like it. Sounds great. Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful.
It's great.
So Spotify really kind of earthquaked everything, huh?
Oh, it changed
the internet earthquaked everything.
Yeah.
But it also changes the way that people listen to music, you know?
Right.
I mean, there are artists specifically on Spotify just to generate listens and money for Spotify. They don't tour. Like, these aren't touring acts. They
but that's
aren't
fine. There's
band.
A lot of hip-hop.
Sure,
hip-hop and R&B acts of the 1990s did not tour a lot, and there was no Spotify then. It's just a different culture,
yeah.
You know? One that doesn't rely as much on touring.
Yeah.
So now that Spotify exists, all that music has the potential to have humongous audiences, even when they're not huge artists like Bell Biv or Boyz II Men or those
artists.
Which
we were just listening to on the way here.
Yeah, no coincidence.
Very nice. But this is how people feel about the talent show people too, right? Where it's like you're on a talent show and now you got like an instant rocket ride to success, and all the people who like tour and do all this stuff are like, fuck you, dude, you guys didn't earn it. You know, it's kind of like stand-up where they did Last Man Standing. It's like
right.
These guys like are already like a headliner now, and they didn't even have to go work the tours.
And I think
shit.
That ultimately that is a part of punk rock mentality that I think is not helpful.
Because I see.
I don't think not every form of music is going to play the Soda Bar in San Diego or the Troubadour in L.A. or the Smell downtown. I mean, you're not going to have, you know, certain artists playing venues that are equipped mostly to deal with bands that make rock and roll or some derivation thereof. So it depends on what kind of music you make. If you're in a rock and roll band, you have to play shows and you have to tour.
You have to go out.
The reason why is because that's really the focus of the art, is people going and experiencing it live.
Sure.
You know, there are some artists that get to do both, like get to be hugely successful touring acts as well as radio acts.
Right.
And they are rock and roll bands. And some of them don't. Some of them tour and, you know, don't sell a lot of records. There's a band called the OCs that, like, they do like incredible numbers all over the country and in Europe, but like, is it on sale at Walmart? No, you know.
Yeah.
Is it maybe at like Amoeba? Sure. Is it at other smaller independent retailers? Yes, because that community all feeds that pipeline. But when you're a pop artist like Justin Bieber or whatever, Spotify numbers are incredibly important because that's one of your main sources of income. When you go out and tour, you're just going to play like
arenas, okay,
and you're not going to do it. You know, 150 days a year if you're not in a record cycle. You're going to do it, you know, like Taylor Swift was just on tour, and the acts that were opening up for her were Charlie XCX, and then I can't remember who the other person was. But these are like tours that are specific to that genre of music that's going to attract people who don't normally go to shows but will go when, like,
yeah,
you know,
crawl over broken glass to see Taylor Swift.
Exactly.
I'll pay $50 cash parking. I'll park on a golf course and right. I'll hike for 3 miles to the stadium.
People
and
love
that,
it.
And that brand, yeah. Taylor Swift or whatever other pop star insert there, they don't. That was not made from touring. It was made from writing songs that have become popular and from, you know, probably licensing and a ton of other stuff like that.
Yeah.
Whereas a band can just keep touring and touring and touring and get a fan base, and then once you become successful in that, you know, space and that pipeline, you cap out at, like, you know, I don't know, like a 2,500 seat theater or whatever. Like, what then, you know? And then occasionally you get to do like what War on Drugs does, where like they just play the Greek or something, or
that's cool.
You know, so there's always like those weird anomalies. But if you're a touring act,
but they got there by touring, right?
100%.
Oh, yeah, they play. Yeah. They play.
We have to take an ad break, but we will be right back to talk more about this.
Today's episode of the Shit They Don't Tell You podcast is sponsored by Calm.
It's the number one app for sleep, meditation, and relaxation, and it was even named Apple's 2017 App of the Year. So I love that we're working with Calm right now, because I've been using Calm, the app, for over a year now, and I can honestly say that it's changed my life, especially in the area of anxiety. I get a lot of anxiety. I feel overwhelmed with life constantly. I wanted to meditate, but I didn't know how. It was just really hard for me to focus on breathing. And the woman who guides you through it, her name is Tamara Lovett. She's really good at, if you've never meditated before, at coaching you through just how to be more mindful and present, so that when you get overwhelmed in your day-to-day life, you just are brought back to the present, and it actually helps it go away.
Yeah, but plus Calm also has a thing where they tell you sleep stories. It's like a bedtime story for grownups, which I think I would actually really enjoy that.
Plus there's something really soothing about the voices that are telling the stories. It's like these people are trained to help you to sleep. And there's different kinds of stories too. So you can pick what kind of story helps you sleep better. For me, it's more the stories that are descriptive about, like, gardens and flowers and, like, very visual. I find myself just visualizing everything they're talking about, and then all of a sudden I'm asleep and maybe I dream about that thing. Sometimes that happens.
Calm gives you the tools you need to live a happier, healthier, and more mindful life. Just 5 minutes of Calm can change your whole day. It sure has changed Nikki's.
Yep. If you head to calm.com/tellyou, TELLYOU, you will get 25% off a Calm premium subscription, which includes hundreds of hours of premium programs, including guided meditations on issues like anxiety, stress, focus, and relationships, including a brand new meditation each day called the Daily Calm. For a limited time, Shit They Don't Tell You listeners can get 25% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/tellyou. That's calm.com/TELLYOU. It includes unlimited access to all of Calm's amazing content, and you can get started today. Calm.com/tellyou.
Calm, the number one app for sleep, meditation, and relaxation.
All right, welcome back. And to start off the second half, we're going to play a short clip from one of the Broken Baby songs. What song are we listening to?
It's My Show.
It's Your Show.
And here it is. Welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You podcast, the podcast with the most.
We just listened to the song. I already welcomed them back.
Oh, my bad.
Jesus. Where are
that
you?
That was tight, by the way. Very good job. I like staring at you while I listen to your song.
Yeah, I was
tight.
Hiding was underneath the microphone.
No, it was good.
It was so good. Who writes the lyrics?
She does.
We both do.
Well, yes.
Wow.
Two different answers.
Yeah.
We both do everything.
Our neighbors do.
No neighbors.
And you do the melody stuff?
No, we all do. It's very collaborative. There's only two people there. I can't write a melody without her being like, I don't know about that.
Gotcha.
Or she can't write a lyric without me being like, I don't know about that. So it just winds up becoming 100% collaboration. I mean, when we're in the studio and I'm playing the different instruments, I will be like, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? What do you think of this? And eventually she's just like, I don't care. Gotcha. So I know now what to ask her. Like, I don't need to ask her about guitar tone, but I do need to ask her about like whether or not there's enough room on the snare drum mic, or whether or not there's enough room on the drums, or is it too distorted?
What happens if you disagree on something? Is it like, and then you both are really digging in, and it's
that hasn't
like,
happened yet.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay.
Not a hard disagreement.
Wow, what a dream team. Jesus.
There's nothing to. There's
all the time,
tweaks.
I guess.
There's nothing that I've been. Well, there's been times when I'm like, I don't really like this song.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then eventually, if I really like the song, we'll just try to keep working at it, and then either she'll be like, you know what, I like it now, or she'll just be like, I hate this thing. And
there was in one song I remember specifically, "Are You Afraid," which is on the new album that's coming out this Friday,
September 21st. Okay, so by the time this podcast comes out, you should go check it out.
Where?
Yes,
everywhere.
Go find it.
Yeah.
Or if you want to buy it, it's like What is it?
Bandcamp.
Like, yeah, brokenbaby.bandcamp.com.
Yeah. There you go.
Go to Bandcamp. It's great there.
Go there. We'll leave a link.
Or just go to Spotify so I can get like bent over, right?
Yeah, we
don't care. It's fine.
Yeah,
we don't care. It's convenient. Because you're right. It's all about like when you're in a rock band or in a band that goes out, we just want you to come and see us play.
Yeah.
Can I ask Alexa to play it?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Hell yeah. Well,
Alexa
I'll be doing
will
that
play.
Then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have a friend named Alexa, so I had a little hiccup. I'm like, Alexa doesn't...
My bad. I probably just fucked with a lot of people at home, too. Sorry about that, guys. They're like, oh, Alexa, man, my Alexa's on, dude.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. But there was one song where in the very beginning, he was like, we should do like some kind of like cool lyrics at this part. I'm like, I don't really like that at all. And that's my favorite song on the record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's great.
I changed my mind.
There's also like stuff where, she'll make a mistake or quote unquote a mistake, and then it winds up becoming like, okay, we'll go back and fix that later. And then we'll move on to another part, and then we go back and listen to the quote unquote mistake, and it starts to feel like, oh, maybe that's not right, but it's better than what we had. So let's follow that. And, like some melodies were written because it was like, there was another part of the song that I happened to drag over from another part, and it was backwards for some reason, and then that became a melody, stuff.
So in a way, there are no quote-unquote mistakes.
There really are no mistakes.
I think that's really nice.
But yeah. That's kind of how most, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like that's how most people work when they're making art,
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are some things that you know now, after all this experience, that you wish that you would have known back when you started?
That's actually really good, Alex, because because you were in a touring band, like you guys went and toured hardcore, and I guess, the music scene is a little bit different now, but I feel like you're connecting with bands a little bit differently now than you were when you were with maybe the Damwells, or maybe when you were doing your Alex Deason solo stuff.
I'm pretty excited about where the Damwells finished.
Yeah.
Because I did not want to be doing that for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was already starting to become a bit of a parody of myself in that band, where it didn't really matter what I did now, because people wanted to hear the songs that we had written 12 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Even that popular. So it was like, wait a minute. Why am I playing for 50 people, which I'm very thankful that 50 people continue to come see me play anywhere. But why am I here playing for 50 people, and they're kind of talking and not paying much attention to the new songs, but then when I play the old songs, they get really excited. Now, I'm thankful that they were excited, but it'd be different. If I was playing for, if it was a substantial part of my income, the Damwells.
If this is Journey, bud, like this is a microcosm for the Journey tour experience,
Yeah,
where it's
totally.
Like, no matter the fuck what, they're playing the old songs. And it's like, hey, we're Journey, we got some new shit for you. Everyone's like, get the fuck off the fucking stage!
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I want to hear the old shit! Yeah. Give me a small town girl in a lonely world! Give me hope in my shitty life! Right? That's all everyone wants.
That's so true.
And now imagine that scaled down, like...
Yeah.
To 50. Or to 25. Or
yeah, sure.
It's 13.
Sure.
Or in someone's living room. I did a lot of house shows, too. It just became a burden.
You did house shows? That's kick-ass,
And the house shows were usually pretty great.
That's badass.
Yeah.
So you plug in an amp in somebody's, living room?
No, I didn't plug in anything.
That's
just
amazing.
Just a guitar.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That was fun. Most of the time. Sometimes it was a nightmare. But with all things, there was a, it had a lot of really cool moments, you know,
playing in
someone's house and there's no microphone or PA or whatever.
So you were a slave to your old stuff.
Yeah, but that's like, yes, but I think that's a little dramatic. It was more that I just was bored and it wasn't like I had to keep doing it.
Right.
You know, it was pretty simple.
How would the audience let you know that they wanted to hear the old stuff? Like, yo, play the old shit.
I think that people don't realize how kind of like shitty they can be.
Yeah, of course.
Sometimes.
Of course.
Like people have no problem saying like, oh man, I wish you would go back to doing that old stuff.
Which just happened recently on an Instagram post. He posted about Broken Baby and he's like, oh no, your new album that just came out. And then the guy was like, I wish you'd just go back to playing this kind of music.
Well, people because don't care. Music is just nostalgic for people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, totally. Like, I mean, okay, as an Eminem fan,
nice.
he just released an album called Kamikaze.
Yeah,
diss track. Yeah, yeah, he did a diss track.
It was a response.
A response because he mentioned MGK on the new surprise album Kamikaze, and then MGK did a diss track, and then it was back. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, oh, no, we're keeping up on it.
On Kamikaze, it's like a whole album about how he's just pissed off that everybody wants the old stuff,
right.
And that he's trying to do new stuff. And people aren't digging it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yo, I'm never going to be the old me. But as a fan, I relate on both sides because as an artist, I like respect that you need to grow and your fans should grow with you and you should have your own voice. But then as a fan, I'm like, yeah, when you play the old stuff, it like really reminds me of being in high school and like
totally.
Certain times that really got me through like this part of my life.
Nostalgic.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
To me, I think that's a little bit different. Look, if you want to dance with the devil, and you want to maybe have a hit, right? And you want to enter into the pipeline of modern
pop music,
pop radio,
then
you are going to have to play those songs. Should you have a hit, you're going to, and even if it's a minor hit, you're going to have to play those songs for the rest of your life. And that's what you trade, I think.
Yeah.
If Eminem, you know, I don't know him personally. I'm sure that he would disagree with me, but
get him on your label.
But if he wanted to be, you know, an artist who is not at the mercy of pop culture, then he should have never tried to end. I mean, but then again, maybe he didn't even try to.
Like, picking up what you're saying, like.
No, he talks about that, how he sold his soul all the time.
As an actor, if you book a CW show,
right.
Guess what, dude? You're in fucking Green Arrow show. You're in a Smallville show. Guess what, dude? You are working the convention circuit for the rest of your natural life.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Until dead. Because that's part
of
the game.
Until you do a role where you're showing your titties and stuff.
Well, I mean, no, that's how you got the role on the CW show.
Oh.
Well, no, you had to cover them up. You're right. You have to show your titties a little bit.
Yeah, you have to do like a horror movie and like shave your head or something, right?
Yeah,
to
no,
get
you,
off that.
You always get a oneer, right? Where you do a horror movie and then, you know, and then you're like, well, I'm waiting for my next project. They're always interviewing like, oh, my next project's coming up. And then 10 years goes by and then you're at the conventions. And like, and all the other people who have been working at conventions the whole time, they're like, I knew he'd, one day. I always knew he'd be here one day. But I've seen this all the time. You see, like, there's a CW show called Supernatural, which like is watched by both teenage girls and middle-aged women. They all go crazy for it, and they all go to the conventions, and they all want to really quickly like touch the lead character's abs, like while they're taking a picture with him. It's fucking hysterical. But this cat, I guarantee he moved to Hollywood. He thought he was going to be in a bunch of shit. He gets the CW show, and that's tight, and it paid for his whole livelihood. But that's who he is now.
Yeah,
he's the Supernatural guy.
There is, I think, there's two bands I can think of. One is a band called Talk Talk, and another band is a band called Radiohead. The latter, which you
I heard of the first one, not the second one.
But they both had hits, right? Talk Talk had a hit. I think it's called It's My Life. And then, not to be confused with the Bon Jovi song.
Yeah.
And then Radio had a hit, Creep, right? And these, like, if you didn't pay attention to, you know, kind of, I mean, Radiohead's kind of a different story, but in the 1980s, in the early 90s, if you didn't pay attention to eclectic kind of angular, weirder music, you wouldn't have known that Talk Talk made two records or three records, maybe four even after the record that I hit on it, that are like experimental, super weird, interesting, exciting records that are not pop in any way whatsoever. So you can do an about face and be like, cool, thanks for the hit. We're going to go back to the shed and we're going to make some weird stuff.
Right.
But I think that what happens is that you change, like your DNA changes. Like once you have a hit or once you are given success, even if it's not something that you wanted, you're like, okay, well, how do I replicate this?
Yes, of course.
And so how do I change?
Ego.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So how do I change what I am to facilitate this new me.
People do that on YouTube where it's like you go viral and then it's like, I'm going to go viral again by doing the sequel to my video that went viral. And so then you become the guy who just does this video forever.
Yes.
You do, it's just doing, this horrible loop.
It's a cycle where you are now the tail wags the dog and you are the slave to the audience that you bequeathed. You got this audience.
Yeah.
They liked your initial thing, but then you didn't maybe love your initial thing as much as they did.
Yeah, exactly. But you, but that guy can.
Yeah. There's always a choice.
He can throw it out the window and just be like, you know what? I'm going to do what I wanted to do and people will like it or they won't. I mean, I think there's two Talk Talk records that I love. One's called Color of Spring and the other one's called Laughing Stock, and they're really weird. I mean, if you were to play the hit and then play those two records, people would be like, yeah, I'm not into this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they're incredible, and they became very influential, and Radiohead always cites them as being hugely influential. And so, I mean, you can. You just have to
I feel like, that's great, Radiohead. I live in a fucking, you know, one bedroom.
Exactly.
I'm so glad I was influential to you. You know, I hope I can pay my water bill this month.
Yeah. Kind of.
Yeah.
But that's the price, you know? I mean, so,
I gotcha. Yeah,
between art and business.
Yeah.
So the music industry, is it as dark as everybody talks about? Has the Illuminati tried to recruit
you? Yeah, you got the Illuminati talk yet?
I'm actually still waiting for them to recruit.
Would you do it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would.
In a heartbeat.
Would you like to
I want to be part of all those
Beyonce
weird websites.
Yeah, triangle hands.
And everything? Yeah.
Hide one eye?
Yeah, you have to hide the left eye.
Oh yeah, I knew that.
How much of that do you think is them just being like, "Yo, dude, we're rich enough; we can pretend like we're Illuminati now."
I would like it to be that way because I would start
like
a club.
Trolling.
Yeah,
right. I would.
I think it's great.
That's the first thing I would do.
I think it's great. I think it's great.
Yeah,
I do.
Put the fear in people. It really sells records.
Yeah, there's a secret society out there that controls everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
like,
I'm part of it, and they own me. And so I'm going to put a triangle over my head as I do a song.
Fear not only sells records, but it elects Donald Trump. And
do a viral hit just so you can pretend you're in the Illuminati. Start wearing Mickey Mouse ears and all that stuff.
Is that the whole thing.
Did you hear about what happened to Amy Winehouse?
She died.
And then she died.
No. Well, yeah, she died. But but the story, the real story is so that Pepsi... wanted
Shut
her.
Off.
No, this is real. Mm-hmm. So Pepsi.
Is this about you? Is this another colorblind thing?
No. This is a real thing. No. So Pepsi wanted Amy Winehouse to do the ba 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 song, but apparently Amy Winehouse wouldn't play ball.
Okay.
And her manager was like begging her, like, "Yo, do the fucking, do the ba 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 the Joy Pepsi song.
Do the ba 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 thing.
Yeah, do it, please, do it." And she wouldn't play ball. And that's what I heard actually happened.
And they killed her.
That's what I heard.
I think we should run with that.
I think it's real.
Yeah, I think that's great.
So if you're an artist and they ask you to do the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba song, you just fucking do it, dude. It's not worth it.
Yeah. Well, you get your money, and then you go back to doing drugs and doing your weird stuff.
Yes,
what's
exactly.
wrong with that?
Yeah, the Illuminati definitely owns Pepsi.
I think
for
so.
For sure. And Britney
Unless they want to sponsor the show.
There's an artist that we both really like, Sun Kil Moon, which is really just a moniker for this guy named Mark Kozelek, who's in a bunch of bands, or in this band called Red House Painters, and he makes these records now where he just talks about his life, like sings about his life.
And he's from Ohio, which I'm from Ohio, which I appreciate.
Ooh, shout out.
O-H.
Yeah, O-H-I-O. Yeah.
And he just sings about his life, and he sings about, like, you know, getting songs licensed and all this other stuff and, like, how much different stuff sucks. And
he also wrote a song about going to a college, you know how you do, like, those shows in colleges and universities and stuff?
Yeah.
And he basically thanked this university for having him.
In the song?
In the song. The whole song was just like, you know, this girl came up and she played piano and she was really good. And he just rambles over music. It's kind of incredible.
It's kind of amazing. I don't remember what my point was.
What was the point of that?
Something about like...
He's just shouting him out. You know what I'm saying? I hear you.
Yeah, I don't know what the point of that was.
I think it's something about that, you know, he sells songs for like, he gets songs licensed. Probably like the instrumental versions of it because they're not going to post, you know, like his... curse words and stuff on a Walmart commercial, but I think there's ways you can like sell out kind of like without doing it full on.
Yeah,
you know,
okay,
like
the most ideal for me. Like,
you can do halfsies.
I would love like all the success associated with being famous, like the money and like
the house.
Wanting to work with you and all this stuff. But I don't really want the fame part where like people come to your house and try to like break in and like.
Oh, yeah,
kids and
sucks.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, your freedom is gone.
Wait. That's the lame part of the fame stuff. What
about
the part where it's like people trying to fuck on you and stuff? That's the cool part.
That's not the cool part. I don't want that either. I just want to be like a shadow man. Like, I want to be like Or a shadow woman, sorry.
Thank you.
I can you be whatever be a I want. Man. I can yeah, be a shadow man if I want. You want.
It's your show.
Exactly. It's my show. Yeah, and I just want to like, I want to be like Banksy, you know? Like, I know her work and I like it, but I'm never going to find her and stalk her because like, I don't even know her, you know?
Yeah,
I get it.
Well, you got to stop putting your face on things.
That's true.
Yeah, that's really true.
I'm really going about this the wrong
way. I know.
My branding's off.
I know.
Yeah. That's too
well, because my face is so cute right now.
That's true. That's hella true.
It's impossible to be popular on Instagram, though, without your face.
Right? Unless you're like a food. If you're a food, you can get popular.
If you're, if you were a broccoli, you would kill it.
Yeah. Or like some fancy dish. Wedding cake. Yeah. I want to be a wedding cake.
For sure.
Easy, pal.
We had cupcakes. What?
Easy.
Like I'm hitting on you?
Yeah,
by easy. By wanting a wedding cake?
Easy about that.
We didn't even have a wedding cake.
No, we didn't. I know, that's what I'm saying. We're about to get into that again. Where it's like, oh, fuck.
What? Why don't you have a wedding cake?
People stole a wedding cake at our own wedding.
They didn't know. They didn't steal it. They
did.
No, they dropped it on the floor.
That's stealing.
Wait, what are you talking about?
I'm just kidding.
They dropped it on the fucking floor. My uncle was trying to carry the box and he dropped it on the sidewalk.
Well, they stole our catering. How about that?
They stole our catering for sure.
Yeah.
We
had so much to go food.
The catering people?
Not the catering people, the event people.
Oh, yeah, the event
people.
At the
venue.
They just took all our food.
No shit.
Yeah.
So we at the end of the, so people ate and what was left.
Like it was in the corner the whole time with like wrapped up and stuff. Like, and then. And then when we went to take it, it was gone. And people were like,
I
saw people.
What catering company was this?
This wasn't, not the catering company. The catering company was great. Trader Joe's Tacos.
The venue hosts.
The venue hosts were the ones that
took it. The true deservers of the blast.
They took a van and they put it all in there.
Oh, wow. That's dark. Like,
pretty messed.
Stealing food is no joke.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway.
So the catering world is pretty dark.
It's a dark world.
Everything is dark. Everything is dark.
Is there a light side of the record industry that the people don't know about usually?
Is there a what?
A light side?
No, they try to show you all the light side. Well, that's the part that they
No, but I'm saying about, I don't know, like
the light side of the record industry, it's really just, the light side is just the music, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's not really any industry. All industries make everything
shitty. Oh, you mean like...
The dark side's all the politics and shit.
And the pills and the, you know, all the cool stuff.
And the sacrifices, the human sacrifices.
I think it's mostly like, you know, business majors hiding under desks. And then someone is like, should we sign this kid? I don't know. Does anyone else want to sign him?
What do their numbers look like?
You know, how many views do you have on YouTube?
Yeah, how many Spotify followers
do you
have?
I don't know. Do you think we should sign him? Well, I hear this other label's going to sign him. Are you sure? I'm gonna call him and ask him if they're gonna sign. You gonna sign him? I don't know. You gonna sign him? I don't know. Is anyone else talking about it? I don't know. Let's go find out.
So then that's where the blogs come into play.
Or that's just
that's
when.
That's why you're trying to work that angle,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I mean, that part's boring.
Ugh. Why can't we just create art, man?
It is. Well, that's what it is. It's like the only thing you can do is just keep creating stuff that you want to listen to. I guess.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
That's
not
so
really.
True.
We're not in the pop game.
Yeah, I don't have. So. I think the way that major record labels run is, I don't even know if I have an opinion about it. They seem to be doing a good job. I don't think that we have an opinion about it. I mean, we're not on a major record label, and in all seriousness, would probably never ever be on one. Not because we don't want to be, but if someone from a major record label wanted to put out our music. I think I'd be more suspicious than anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, really? Have you heard what we sound like?
Why?
Right.
Or maybe, I don't know, maybe things change. I mean, you know, no one, you
maybe
know,
we're
no
looking
one,
for something
is
new.
Is there a pride in that where it's like, and I really mean this in a genuine sense. It's like, is there a pride in, like, we know that our sound is not going to be popular?
No, I don't know.
Mainstream.
Do you think there is?
Or mainstream. Or is it like you're afraid of that? Like you don't want to sound like those people do? No, you know what I'm saying though? Where it's like,
no.
I don't want to sound like those people, like that type of song.
It's just
or
so
that.
Cookie cutter.
Well, pop is such a, it's such a cookie cutter type of sound. It's like there's no real experimentation.
It's like a formula that like if you do bop, 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 then we'll sell X amount of records or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, okay, if you're willing to play ball and do bop, bop, bop instead of your own thing that you like create and want to be like, funky with, like, you can't just like do an idea that you came up with in your head. You have to follow this formula.
I think there's only so much you can do with pop. So it's like, pop is boring.
Yeah.
It's hypnotic in this way that's just like,
Illuminati.
You know,
that's why they,
right.
why they got it because,
there it is.
They can hypnotize people through the music.
Good job.
Yeah.
What are the biggest challenges, like, on a day to day basis, like, between the band and running the labels? Like, what's like the biggest challenge, like, that you're just annoyed with? You're like, ugh.
Getting people to listen to the music.
Yeah, that is challenging because there's times, I mean, nowadays you have to be on all streaming platforms.
Yeah.
So if you're a band, you're on everything. So when someone says like, "Oh, where can I listen to your music?" It's like on Spotify. Oh, are you on iTunes? Yeah. We're fucking everywhere. Like, and because you have to be, and you have to manage all these things, but it's still so hard to get people to just click something.
Right.
It has to have like, it has to come with a really pretty picture or some like weird narrative. Yep. Like, it's just clicking because our we're so inundated with so much stuff so many details.
So much media.
It's actually trigger. It's everywhere, but it's nowhere.
Yeah.
It's really, that's, totally true, and I think that's the most cogent explanation of it. We're fighting algorithms, we're fighting all kinds of things, not to mention all the other crap that's out there, including us.
I just relate so much to this shit, because this is exactly what the YouTubers experience.
It's how I think everybody feels in every kind of different industry, no matter what you're doing. It's like, it's very easy to get your work out there, supposedly, but now you have like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter having these algorithms that require you to actually pay money to get, in order to be seen by the people that are already following you.
Right, right.
Yeah. So it's kind of counterintuitive and it's counterproductive.
Which is fine. I mean, if I owned Instagram, I would do that. I'd charge people to get their product placed in someone's timeline.
It's
not nice.
But it's like you have to hire a whole person to like manage all that.
Yeah.
Because there's so many platforms.
Yeah, it's its own industry. All the
time. But that, I think, is why it actually kind of it brings you back to like the community that you are in, I think. Like Los Angeles music scene, like, or who do you identify with in what circles and stuff, and finding bands to play with. And
is there a community still, or has that changed a lot?
Oh yeah, there's a great community. There's like a great community of punk rockers in LA making great punk rock music, and which I would have never thought to say, because I always think punk rock is East Coast, but no, it's everywhere.
Oh really?
I mean, I always thought that because I'm from Ohio.
I just grew up here, and I grew up in Santa Barbara, and it's just all punk rock. Yeah. It's like Lagwagon, NoFX, like
You know, I guess it just depends
Noise
on
for a name. Like, just, right. Everyone came out from our town, and it's like a little beach town. Yeah. So it's like, it's just very artist friendly.
I'm from San Diego, you know, Blink.
But it there, is you know? Artist friendly. Yeah. There's a lot of communities like that support each other, because you just like, you go and play shows together, and there's people that love music still. And
I always underground hip hop. You can beat the algorithm that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
But I think that the way that underground hip hop worked on the East Coast, especially like in the '90s and in the early aughts, like that is exactly how, that's basically the model of punk rock and roll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That just, it's this is what we have, and we're going to go do it here. And if you want to come see it, come to the show. And then people would have these experiences, or they'd, you know, you'd go to like see rap battles and stuff like that. And it was like insane. I mean, it was amazing. And so I think the challenge of a lot of record industry, the challenge of the record industry trying to make that music popular is trying to figure out a way to take it out of that space and then into a more commercially viable space to sell a lot of it. And I think that going back to your question about whether or not it's a point of pride because we would most likely never be in a major record label, is it's more that the question doesn't really have an answer, because there's no real way for us with what we do to feel like it could be commercially viable without having to sacrifice everything that it is.
Right. Yeah.
You know, other people are willing to sacrifice what it is, or the marketplace is willing to make way for whatever it is that you're doing because it's so cool or so hyped or so, you know, like the yeah, you know, like it's so of the moment that it can't be denied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or what Nirvana was when that record came out in 91. It was like, it just was, there was a thing going on and people heard it was coming, and then all of a sudden, boom, it came. And all of the stuff that was clogging up the airways, you know, that just made room for it.
Right.
So that you can do it that way. But 9 times out of 10, you're going to have to, like, you know, shave off the parts of you that are edgy or you know, buff the parts that are edgy to make it more accessible. And that's, you know, lots of people do that. And I think that's great for them. It's just not something that, especially now, after I was in this band for so long, and we were always having to face the eventual consequence of, if we wanted to be successful, we were going to have to, like, play ball in some way.
Yeah. Write a hit.
We're going to have to write a hit. We're on a major record label.
And they would tell you that, right? They're like, yo, 100%. Write a hit.
Yes.
They're like, use the algorithm and write a hit? Or are they like...
No, they're just like, we need a hit.
Okay.
You know, we want to sell a million records.
Yeah.
So instead of something catchy and something mainstream.
And so that makes makes a person crazy. And so I was in my 20s. We're all younger than we are now. But and so you just become like this this like angry person who rejects everything.
Yeah. Right.
So that's very dangerous. You don't want to reject everything. If someone says something, like I have a friend who makes pop music, and I played him some Broken Baby stuff early on, and I trust him, and he's a good friend of mine, and he had a couple comments about how maybe you should try this, maybe try this, try this. If that had been 15 or 10 years ago, I would have been like, fuck you, dude. I'm not changing anything.
And by the way, dude, fuck you, by the way, too.
And also, fuck you.
I was that way, too, man. Oh, God. I was just had my head up my own ass about like my own craft, where it's like, oh, comedically. No, fuck
well,
no.
Well, there
I'm
you go. That's what you've learned. I guess what you asked earlier.
Yes, and if you don't tell you.
If you wish what you know now, then something.
Yeah, for sure, though.
Stuff that you wish you would have known.
And it's such a helpful thing, by the way, to learn to not be like this like fucking
asshole.
Crazy asshole artist person.
Yeah.
Well, everything's so precious when you're younger because you like you take hold of it and you're like, this is mine. I'm
I used to think making money was like the shittiest, most sellout-y thing you could do.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, what? Like, who? What? What the
you're
fuck
like, I need the money.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm like, it's only made my life
everything's
better.
Everything's expensive.
Money. Yeah, absolutely. So it's just not, but it's just, you know, I know it's just so cool, though. Like, it's like, oh, it's cool to be like, hey, the man came to me earlier and said, like, hey, you want money? And I said, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what's cool to me then, right?
Yeah, totally.
So, but now I'm like, the man came to me earlier and I had a meeting with the man. And then I tried to get the man to buy my thing. And then, like, I hope it went well. Like, that's how it is now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But
it's so funny the difference, like, from now to then. Like, I feel like I'm talking to myself in a way, like, talking
to you
are, about
this. You guys
shit.
Look exactly alike as well.
Exactly. Right?
Or, like, the mirror image.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is you as YouTubers.
It's just the same kind of jam because I came up in the comedy world doing, like, all UCB and IO and stuff.
Same.
And I was doing stand up and I was trying to, like, just be original and all this shit. And then it's just, now I'm like, no, like, I don't care.
I should have done what I'm doing now.
I wish I was like this smart to just do things because I don't know, because I know that they could work.
Yeah.
Like, rather than just doing things because only I will like it.
Well, doing things that work that also don't sacrifice your voice. Finding that balance is always the tough part.
But I always wanted like, oh, I want my fellow UCB people to be able to watch this and go like, Steve is good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Rather than like,
totally.
That's a dark place.
Yeah, it's a dark place, especially because most of those cats that I know of are still there.
They don't care about you. They care about you going to their show and saying they are good.
No. In fact, most improvisers don't want to go to other people's shows because all of it kind of sucks to watch.
That's what I'm saying. Like, nobody is thinking that. Everyone is thinking, I want to do a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see all of them on commercials, so I'm like, well, we all know how that works.
But then every once in a while, if you keep doing what you're doing, I mean, this is the part I haven't figured out. So the shit that I still don't know is that, okay, how does someone who does a band or an artist or an actor or whatever do exactly what they want to do and it never has to change? They never have to make any allowances for the marketplace. Somehow what they do is so...
game-changing?
Yeah, it's so like... other and exciting that everyone makes way for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think I wasn't sure that existed until the rise of Tyler Perry, and then I was like, he really likes it. And I watch him in interviews and I'm like, oh no, he really does like it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I think it's a blend of like the Transformers mentality. It's like, I'm making something that everyone loves, and guess what? I love it too.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? I think it's like a perfect harmony, like of those two things working in sync.
But it always started with him probably not really compromising. He's like, this is what I love to do, and I'm just going to keep doing it. Didn't he live in his car or something like that?
Yeah.
Like, he just kept doing it.
Exactly. And I'm not better than him. I just don't personally like it. And that's it.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm not. But me 10 years ago is like, I'm better than him. I'm smarter. You know what I'm saying? It's like, comedically he's got nothing. It's like, oh Jesus, dude, really? Just fucking calm down. Like, like more people know who he is than you. Like, so just relax. It's okay. It'll be all right.
It's okay. Yeah.
You're like an angry YouTuber.
Everything's
commenter.
Okay.
Oh yeah, dude.
Everything's okay. Should we hold hands?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, we are nearing the end of our show today. Thank you so much for being here.
This was fun.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
First of all, where can people find you?
Everywhere.
Oh, sorry. Right?
Spotify, iTunes,
Broken
Apple
Baby.
Music.
Broken Baby.
Broken
Spotify.
BrokenBabyBand.com. Instagram, your mom's Instagram, my mom's Instagram. Mm-hmm. Where
Love
else?
It. Love it.
Probably my mom's Twitter, Instagram.
Yeah, there you go.
Facebook.
Yeah.
What's
just Broken Baby on all mediums?
Yeah.
I think
Broken
it's
Baby
like,
Baby.
Sometimes it's Broken Baby Baby.
Mm.
No, it's always Broken Baby Baby, but the website is BrokenBabyBand.com.
Just to confuse it a little bit.
Yeah. And when this releases, you have a new album out.
Yes.
Yeah. September
self-titled.
21st.
Yeah. Hell yeah. All right. Yeah. So
and
go,
it's called self-titled.
Go download that.
No, it's just literally self-titled.
Oh, that's tight. Nice. I like that.
Yeah, although we should have named it self-titled.
You should have. That's actually pretty good.
Oh, my God. We should have announced
it's like
really
Broken
bummed.
Baby presents self-titled. That's pretty good. It's pretty damn good.
So we do this thing at the end called Final Thoughts. So it's just like your last final thought to wrap everything up.
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure. It could be silly.
It could be, just
silly.
A thought that encompasses you as an individual and a human being.
Just something to really
no
like let the listeners
well,
walk
actually,
away with.
You know what?
Yeah.
Well, Laurie Anderson, you know Laurie Anderson? She was married to Lou Reed, but she's a creative performing artist. She's like a musician, and she created some instruments and stuff like that. Well, something.
She created instruments?
Well, she created a
That's
way
tight.
For her instrument to sound different than
it's
everybody
like she
else's.
She made the
xylophone.
Cool. It's like, oh, shit.
Dude, one time I watched this guy play piano where he opened the piano and like played it like a guitar.
Yeah, prepare
yeah.
a piano.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But she always said, or she said in an interview, if you're stuck, just do the worst that you possibly can.
Oh, that's cool.
I like that.
Just, it gets you out of your perfectionist head.
Just throw the shit out.
Yeah, I love that.
Now I have a final thought. I think it's two-pronged. One is I never learned anything from being successful. Now, that may also be because I was never very successful. but anytime I had any success, it never helped me. It only distracted me. So I think if you can have a long run of like just enough success to keep you alive, then I think you'll stay on course. And the only way to continue to do that is discipline. You just have to, like, we were talking about this before we went on the air.
Thank you. Because we are on the air. Thank you.
Is that the only difference between, I think, like, someone who's successful and someone who's not successful, when you break it down, is just discipline.
Yeah.
If you can write, if you're a writer and you can figure out, like, a couple hours or half an hour or 15 minutes to write every single day, then eventually you will become objectively good at it. You know,
right.
So that 10,000 hours.
Yes. Yeah, 10,000 hours.
Absolutely, I believe that.
And I think that with our band, we're doing it all the time, you know? So, and we're constantly thinking about it and talking about it. And
you enjoy it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That Absolutely. Helps so much.
It's so much fun.
Oh,
that was
God.
Actually going to be my final thought. It's just like, find the shit that you actually like doing and that you would listen to yourself or watch yourself, in our case, making videos.
Yeah.
It took me a couple. I just feel like it's been recently, like when I started learning that and incorporating it, because I used to just, everyone's like, you got to keep up with whatever's trending on YouTube, and it's
Hang
so draining
myself.
And I hated myself, and I hated what I was doing, and I just hated life, and I was just so mean and like bitter, and I was very consistently doing things that I didn't like, it's just like at the end of the day, like, who are you doing it for? If you, let's say something catches off of something you didn't like, do you want that success that you have to keep repeating forever? Now you are stuck in it, but you're successful, but you're stuck in it.
Yeah,
so
it's not worth it.
I would rather be less successful at something I really like.
Amen.
Than be super successful.
And I know a couple people who have become successful, and I'm like, do you still like doing that thing that made you successful? And they're like, yeah, I do. And I think that's
success right
that's
there.
That's someone who's like, kind of dug in and did what they love. Yeah.
That's awesome.
My final thought is that we are all in a big, giant fucking ball that is hurtling through the fucking eons of space. All of us trying to project meaning onto something that has no meaning.
Amen.
And so all we can do is simply wake up every morning, put on our monkey suits, and try to play monkey. That's what we do, right? We're all zoo animals. And it's like, well, I'm a zoo animal. What do I got to do this morning? Well, I got to eat something. Okay, cool. And it's like, well, now I got to do a cool trick so that people pay to come to the zoo. And it's like, so here, I'm going to do a cool trick. And then it's like, oh, okay, cool. And then it's like, well, now I got to eat something again. Yeah, I got to poop, so I'm going to poop real quick, and maybe I'll throw it. And then it's like, now I got to poop, or I got to eat again so that I can produce more poop for later. And then, you know, maybe more people will come to the zoo.
We're all monkeys.
I think so.
Yeah, but like, if you didn't have the cool trick part, like, then you're just life is boring.
No, if you don't have a cool trick, you're sitting at home right now and you're like, man, I wish I had a cool trick. And then you're like trying to figure out what your cool trick's going to be. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Everyone listening to this right now, like, I'm just trying to tell you, figure out what your cool trick is.
Yeah. How badass is it that monkeys just, they're like, what? And they just throw their own shit at you.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And I don't think it's like all monkeys. It's probably like certain monkeys. I don't know a lot about
no,
monkeys.
No, they're the best critics on earth.
Yeah, they really are.
They really like, know like, how they feel.
I'm actually going to throw you a handful of shit.
Yeah, and then, but see, I don't look at them and go, oh, I'm not a monkey at least. That's good. I go, no, 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 I am this. We're the same.
Do they actually throw their shit or is this just like a thing that I've just made up?
They hurl it.
They do.
Yeah.
I've seen it on the YouTube.
They chuck it.
I've seen it at the zoo.
They also, if you want to die laughing, they also smoke cigarettes. It's fucking great.
Really?
Yes. People throw cigarettes into the zoo entrapment and the monkeys pick it up and they start doing impressions of people. Which is amazing.
I want a monkey.
Yeah, and they're fucking like smoking it through their nose cooler than any cool guy could ever smoke a cigarette.
Yeah.
Like it looks badass because they have a look on their face like they really don't give a fuck because they're monkeys.
I have learned so much today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yay.
Shit.
So hey, if you're listening right now, just find your cool trick that gets people to come to the zoo.
Yeah. And do your worst at it.
Yeah, right. Fuck yeah.
And if you have a topic you want to discuss, then you can email us at podcast@nikki.limo. Thanks for listening. Also, rate us on iTunes. If you're listening on iTunes, please rate us nicely.
Thank you.
Like 5 stars. Thanks.
It helps.
Thanks,
Thank
Mom.
You. Bye. Why didn't anyone tell me?
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.